Jesus says you don't have to repeat and repeat and repeat. And that's in prayer. And that's that has to do with a lot of the times of pagans in that day. They thought they would be heard if they petitioned their little g gods. Okay? They thought if they cut themselves up and just begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged, they would be heard from God. But that's why Jesus says, hey, your father, your heavenly father's not like that. You don't have to beg. He's good. He's a good father, amen? And sometimes the repeating in songs, sometimes the words, if we have a problem with repeat, you better read the Psalms. Because the Spirit inspired David and the sons of Asa, Korah, to write that stuff, and there's a lot of repeat. If we have a problem with repeat, we need to consider how many times God in the Old and New Testament says, remember. Many, 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 many times that God says, remember this, remember that. Hey, and when you're heading down the hill, remember this, remember that. God wants us to remember these things. Sometimes when we do a song and there is some repeat, it has to do actually sometimes with our heart. Amen? It's like sometimes God's stirring. Sometimes His Spirit is going, hey, open up. I hear, and Jesus says, I stand at the door knock sometimes. He doesn't, not sometimes, all the time. And that's to the believers, by the way. And He stands at the door of our hearts and knocks and wants to come in. So sometimes in the process of singing something a couple times is that process of surrender. Now for some of us, sometimes you see some of this stuff goes on and on and on and on for days. It's like, come on. Enough already. But I just want to commend, the Spirit was moving in that song, you know, Our God is a Mighty God. What is it? Our God is an awesome God. Right, there it is. And the act, and all the actions that go with it. I think we should say an act, yeah. I really do. Well, guys, as we are a multi-site, the pastors, the site pastors, we all rotate in preaching, and tonight is my turn. I usually like to avoid these scenarios, but Alan isn't around, and Ryan isn't around to bail me out, and so here I am. So you get me, and I hope that's good. I just pray the Spirit would work through me tonight, and it's all about bringing our attention to our Father God through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, recap. So we're going to recap a little bit about the story of God and really what's been going on. And I'm so thankful to Alan and Brian who have been taking us through the Old Testament and really just walking us through step by step. And we're hearing the story of God. And it's from SOMA, this church down in Tacoma, Washington. But the deal is they came up with this. How would they share the story of God to people who didn't have 2 years to sit and listen? So they kind of said, well, let's sum it up in a little while. You know, a little while being a few months rather than a couple of years. And I think they did a really good job. So we're just kind of following some of the paths that they've plowed for us. So that's what we're doing. And tonight we're ending up in where Jesus talks about Matthew, about disciples. So really the message tonight is we're going to be talking about disciples and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to be also looking at discipleship. So disciples, followers of Jesus. We're going to be looking at discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus. Okay? Well, let's put up that Matthew passage. Let's take a look at this. Because Jesus spoke a lot about following Him. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, then He came to them and He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a big statement. It's been given to Him. So in other words, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's everything that He walked with them over the past 3 years and taught them over the past 3 years. Everything they've seen Him do. And He said, and here's a big thing. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So discipleship is not something, being a disciple is not something we do alone. There is no such thing in the church being the body of Christ, as Jesus and me. It's totally unbiblical. Look at that passage. You go.
The you is plural. Yous. Yous guys. Kind of New Yorkan, right? You guys.
It's plural.
You go.
And it, basically, it's like telling us,
hey, all of you, what I'm telling all of you who are here with me on this mountain, I want all of you together to go and make disciples of all nations. Just like I've done with all of you, now I want all of you to go together and bring people into my kingdom. All of you. So this whole thing of discipleship is just Jesus and me, it doesn't cut it. And so that's why it's just a travesty to cut ourselves off from each other. It's a travesty in the church to do that. Within, not the church, the building. That's the church is not the building. It's us, the people of God. So he says this. Well, this whole passage, I've been thinking about this passage. Christina and I went, we took a couple days off. Hallelujah. I've been really grouchy and grumpy with this medicine that I've been on. And, you know, even Ezra and I had to make up some time here with Ezra just before I took communion because I've been a grump. I haven't been sleeping well, haven't been going to bed early, and it caused me to stay up late, and I toss and turn and all this stuff. Anyway, grumpy bear. So it was a good thing to get out of town. It was a good thing to go where I couldn't be grumpy with anybody else except for the trees. So what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. We went down to Dunvegan, just north of here. There's an awesome historical site there. So we went to Dunvegan. We took in this mission tour. I wanted to take in the fur trade tour, but we weren't there yet. So we took in this mission tour, and I'm like, okay, well, what's that? So on this mission tour, I was really struck by this. It was all about the different missionaries that came to this area. And in particular, one of them was named Father Gruard. Yes, who Gruard is named after. Well, I didn't know that, but there you are. And Father Gruard was a disciple of Jesus. Why? Because he came to a nowhere northern place in northern Alberta. He took a vow of poverty so that he could just give to all those he was reaching. This guy, get this, this is in his spare time. He learned seven languages. Okay? Learned seven languages so that he could do what? So he could share the gospel with people who needed the gospel, to teach people who Jesus was. So he could take that great commission that we just read and put it on the ground for the people that he was called to reach, namely the Beaver tribe of Indians, First Nations folks that were in this area. And in order to do that, he had to learn their language. He had to spend time with them. He had to figure out what were the cultural things. He had to cross many, many, many bridges and stuff to reach out to these folks. And part of what he did, actually, is we went in, Christina and I went in, and they had this little chapel they built. And on the chapel wall, as you walk in, it's like kind of right there. The main thing you look at is the crucifixion of Jesus. And the place is painted. They've restored it or whatever, but it's painted. It's got all these different colors in it. You're thinking, wow, how did they get this paint? Because it wasn't like they could go to Home Hardware and do a color match. Okay? There was no such thing. Like, he had to make the paints. And I'm telling you, this guy had to learn how to paint. And, I mean, I'm stick man job, you know, that's what I do. It's pretty good. And not only that, because he was the people he was reaching out to, the people that he was called to disciple, he used moose hide to paint the crucifixion on. Now, wait, that's like, well, okay, big deal. That is a huge deal to those people because that is their most important animal, the moose. It's very important to them. It's of high esteem, so... He's like, they understood the sacrifice because it was on this moose hide. Sure, it was animistic, but he was trying to tell them, look, Jesus is the great sacrifice. You see, they considered the moose a great sacrifice. And so he used moose blood to paint with and on different areas of the church. You're like, oh man, that's kind of gross. But it actually looked pretty good. But again, the point was, Father Gruard was committed to Christ because he knew the Father's love, that he would go to a nowhere Alberta to share with a people who were not even reached, that nobody cared about them. The fur traders just wanted their cash, get them out of here. But he did not. He wanted these folks to know the story of Jesus. Why? Because he knew the love of the Father. Why? Because he took what Jesus said seriously in that passage. Jesus said, go make disciples. Father Gerard took that seriously. He knew that Jesus was not saying, sort of. He knew that Jesus was not saying, maybe. He knew that Jesus said, go make disciples. So why does that challenge me so deeply? Well, until recently, that cuts into my Skyrim time. Anybody know what Skyrim is? Yeah, Ezra and Joshua do. My boys, I like this video game too much at times. And I like my Netflix series, The Office. You can sit and binge watch all you want now, right? So anyway, it challenges me deeply because when I went there, I was just cut to the heart. I'm thinking, man, here's this guy. Here's this guy. Learned 7 languages. He is reaching the people, doing everything he can. And I'm upset that I don't get to watch another episode because it's too late about The Office. So it cut me to the heart. In a world that constantly tells me, you just put you first, Jason. I'm cut to the heart. Jesus says, no, my way is you put you last and you put me first. I'm cut to the heart. It's the opposite. It's not enough for me just to sit and read what Jesus said here on this passage. It's not enough. It's not enough for me just to hear it. It's not enough for me just to read it. What he says, he's calling me to do. He's calling me to go. He's really calling me to do it. Because he loves me, because he loves this world, and he asks if I will love him and make him number one in my life, above all else, he says, okay, I want you to go make disciples. Who make disciples? Francis Chan, another fellow. Anybody hear of Francis Chan? Yeah. Okay. He was sharing a story at a Verge conference a couple years ago, and I caught on to it a few months back, and he was talking about, you know, how not to make disciples. So Jesus talks about this. I want you to go make disciples. Francis Chan was saying, this is how you don't make disciples. And so he was sharing the story about, hey, does anybody know the story Simon Says? And everybody's like, yeah, I know that story. He says, you know, it's kind of like when you pat, Simon Says, pat your head. So everybody, Simon Says, pat your head, right? Can you pat your head? You know the game? So Simon Says, pat your foot, right? So he's saying, you know, that's good. We get that game, but we don't really get it in the church. We're good with Simon Says. But what Jesus says, it's something entirely different sometimes, isn't it? Simon says, you know, rub your belly. Jesus says, go make disciples. We're like, ah, did you really mean that? And so I'm not all that good sometimes when Jesus says with that game. Matthew 28 again reminds me, go make disciples. Francis Chan talks about, he says, it's not like, you know, he says to his daughter Rachel, he says, Rach, I want you to go clean your room. Rachel doesn't come back in half an hour and say, hey, Dad, I remember what you said. You said, Rachel, go clean your room. No, she doesn't do that. She doesn't say, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said. You said, Rachel, go clean your room. In fact, I know it in Greek. Hey, Dad, she doesn't say this either. She doesn't say, hey, I wonder what, she doesn't form a Bible study and say, you know what, I wonder what it would look like. Make a little study and say, you know what? What would it look like if we, you know, we thought about what it would look like to clean my room? She doesn't say that. No. She does it because her dad said, go clean your room, Rach. Same thing. So we struggle sometimes with what Jesus says. Not to memorize what Jesus says. Not poo-pooing memorization here. But it's more than that. Jesus doesn't want us to just memorize what he says. He wants us to take what he says to heart. Because he takes us to heart. It's simple. It's so simple. But being a follower of Jesus is difficult. He calls us to do what he says to do. And that's, you know what? That's why we're here at Eastside, to be honest with you. In this neighborhood, God said many months ago, hey, you know what? Because we're all praying, we've got a prayer team and all that stuff. And the prayer team, I did not want to be on the Eastside because I grew up on this side of town. I don't like this side of town. I didn't want to come back to this side of town. I want to go west side. West side, right? Everybody wants to go west. And I was like, you know, and the prayer team's like, you know, Jay, we just get in a sense, you know, this new church, Third Sight, needs to be on the east side of town. I'm like, you gotta be kidding. Let's go ask the team. You know, as the team is praying, man, it seems like it's gonna be on the east side. I'm like, come on. Alan and the elders, what do you guys think? Man, I don't know, Jay. Just getting this just it needs to be on the east side of town to reach the east side folks, because nobody's over there reaching them. I'm like, good night, man. Okay, Lord. And that's why we're here. Because he said, go to the east side. Go clean your room. So maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you can't relate to that, right, Corey? But not yet, anyway. But maybe we can relate with workplaces. You know, when a boss says, hey, I want you to go take out the garbage, you know, in McDonald's, wherever. We don't argue about it. Some of us may have, but if the boss says go and do it, we do it. It's part of our job duties, right? Steve knows this in the trades. You know, here's a deadline. It needs to be done by X date. It needs to be done. That's when it needs to be done. If you want to remain a contractor, it's got to be done. And sometimes even in sports teams, the coach calls you aside and he's like, hey, come on. He or she calls you aside. Hey, come on over here. Hey, you know what? I noticed that when you're skating there, you might want to lift your skate a little more or whatever it is. These coaches, they do it. They point it out to us so that we improve our game. And Jesus does the same. He wants to improve our game, but he wants us to get into the game. If we're not in the game, just sitting watching it, we're not playing. So we're left with these questions of how and why. And that's why we don't want to look to ourselves. We want to look to what God says. So let's take a look at Matthew 4. That's where we're going to be spending most of our time tonight, Matthew 4, 17 to 19. So I don't know if you have on your device, you might want to look it up. NIV or ESV or NASB is kind of where I normally use. If you want to do that, we're going to have it up here. And I included this verse. Some scholars include it and some don't in this situation. I loved the fact that this verse was part of, some scholars like, yeah, it needs to be part of this. It needs to be part of this. And I'll tell you why in just a minute, because it makes sense why Jesus was doing what he was doing. And again, the story of God kind of brings this whole thing to light. So let's take a look at it. So from that time on, this is after, you know, Jesus was baptized. We talked about that. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Well, here's what he was preaching. Repent. Remember when Alan talked about what repentance was? Does everybody remember that? Changing directions, right? You know, we're saying, yeah, I'm my own king. You know, I'm going to call the shots in my life. And it's like, no, repent means I'm coming back under the authority of God. And I'm going to go this way. That's repentance. Big U-turn. That's what it means. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is where? It's near. Very cool. Let's keep going. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, see, he's in proximity to people here. He's near. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and he saw his brother Andrew. They were casting a net to the sea, for they were fishermen, right? That's what they do. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets, and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. These guys were also called the sons of thunder, by the way. That tells you something about their attitude. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they're mending their nets. Whoops. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father. That's a huge deal in that culture. And they followed him. The word of the Lord. I just want to say right away, when we read scripture, it's very important to pay attention to what's going on, obviously, but to know, as we've been looking at the story of God so far, we're seeing God's initiative. God takes initiative with people all over the place. He continues to do so, and he's doing so here. One thing's for sure, over and over again, he doesn't give up on us. He gives us opportunity after opportunity to join him, to take his invitation. And how do we know this? Well, if you go to John 14, you'll notice something. Philip was saying, hey, just show us the Father. Just tell us what God's like. And Jesus says, you want to know what God's like? Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know? I tell you the truth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We want to know what God's like. We look to Christ Jesus, our Lord. All the fullness of God was in him. So if we want to know what he's like, we take a look at him. And we can see it. So that's what we want to take a look at. So I forgot my whiteboard tonight. I'm kind of a whiteboard guy. And I was going to put it right here, and we're going to make notes and all that stuff, but I forgot it when I was packing the van. So we're not going to do that. We're going to have to use our imagination. Anyway, so take a look at that passage. If you take a look at it in your Bibles, maybe we can go back and start from 17. But I just really want to encourage you, what do you see in Jesus? That's where I need to start. What do you see? Take a look. What do you see in Jesus? What's he like? What are his characteristics? What do you see in him? When you're ready, just throw up your hand, man. What do you see from this passage? You see some compassion?
Yeah. And love.
Sure. Yeah, he loves these guys. Okay? Anybody else? What's that?
Leadership.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, he's taking initiative, right? He's bringing these guys in. Sure. Jesus is a leader. Anything else?
He's telling them to repent because heaven is close.
Yeah. He says, yeah, do a U-turn, guys. Make God your king. Make me your king. Because I am near. I am here. Yeah, good stuff. Bella.
I feel like commitment.
Just a little bit. Yeah, he calls people to a level of commitment, doesn't he? Kind of a level. Yep, there's a pretty big level there, yep. Sometimes we don't like that as Canadians. We're like, no, come on, just come as you are. And that's for sure. That's one of our slogans here. And I don't want to, you know, Kate wrote a beautiful poem called Come As You Are. Great poem. Great poem. It's not in the Bible, though. But a great poem. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's good stuff. Anything else you notice about Jesus? Take a look at Jesus. Because when we read the Bible, that's what God wants us to know. Take a look at my son. Take a look at him. See what he's like. See who I am. What else do you notice about Jesus? Yeah. Yeah, it's the beginning of his ministry. Yeah, here he comes. Yeah.
He gives us more than we deserve.
You see that here?
Yeah.
Okay. He gives us more than we deserve.
Because when, like, I can't, when Mark was talking to Q, he was like, when you get prisoners, when you get baptized.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
He's a forgiving God.
Yeah. Yeah, does he... I mean, these guys... We're going to get into a little bit of what these guys were like. Yeah, you better believe he's a forgiving God.
I think... Yeah. I see what God sees here, too. Though it's like, when he calls people, he's with them, right? He's walking along the shore. He calls up to them. He says, come follow me. He doesn't just say, repent, follow me. He's like, I'll show you how to fish with people. So he, like, he gives them way more than... He kind of demands a lot. They're fishermen.
Yeah.
They probably don't even read.
That's right. That's right.
He's like, it's okay, you come with me.
Yeah. That is really cool about Jesus, you guys. See this? Yeah. He doesn't call us into something. He's going to show us. He's going to show us. He's going to show them what it means to be a fisher of people. I'm trying to be gender neutral. But yeah, he's going to do it. He's going to show them. Come with me. He's got a promise, and I will make you, right? Fishers of people, for sure. He knows them. He loves them. We've heard that. He invites them. That's a big deal. He invites them. I mean, if Jesus is God in the flesh, he could do it all by himself. He doesn't need them. He doesn't need us to do it. He invites us into it. What does that tell you about Jesus? Pretty big stuff, right? So what's God like? What do we see him doing in Jesus here? We're kind of covering some of that stuff. I really hope that whatever it is, you know, as we've been really praying tonight, I really think the Spirit's at work. Really keep praying as we go on tonight. You know, what is the Spirit driving home for you in your heart tonight about Jesus' great love for you? Your identity in him. What does he say maybe about how he's calling you to live? Pay attention tonight to those things. Now we're going to take a look at the disciples, okay? All right, so
Well, we don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. We'll stay right there for a minute. That's surprise, surprise. So, yeah. Do you know what's anything about these guys? I mean, Allison kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit with, they probably didn't know how to read. For sure. They probably didn't know how to read. Anything else you know about the disciples? Or what do you see in the disciples in the Bible there? Yeah, the fishermen, right? The fishermen. It says, yeah, they were fishing because they're fishermen. Yeah.
The more they were at, didn't wait till they were discipleships. He took them exactly where they were at.
Yeah, Jesus does that. He takes us exactly where we're at. And where are these guys, where are they at? Where does he meet them?
Working. Where they were working.
At work. Sometimes we think, you know, the only place Jesus is going to meet us is when we all gather together. He shows up at your workplace. Go figure that out. What, are you kidding me? He did it there. Yeah. What else do we see? They respond to what he asks. Let's not leave that unsaid. We got to pay attention to that. You know what? And here's the thing. They were fishermen, right? In that day and age, they wouldn't have known anything else. Nothing. Because they did what their dad did, and his dad before them. They didn't know anything else. They're not farmers. They don't know how to farm. And if they go to the career of farming, they will probably starve to death. Because they don't know how to do it. And all the people that were farming in that day and age have all their grandparents, wisdom ahead of them, and they have all that land. You want to just, we'll go into farming. I mean, look at what farming is like around here. It's pretty hard to be a farmer. You try and get into it, farming from a fisherman, good night. Right? They left their careers, you guys. They left their careers. They were fishermen. Now, they were from this place called Galilee. Can you say Galilee?
Galilee.
There you go. Now, here's the thing. I thought this was a pretty poverty-stricken place. It wasn't in the time of Jesus. It was actually the exact opposite. It was a place of wealth because of the industry there. The agricultural industry that was happening there. The farming was awesome. The fishing was awesome. Everything else that was going on there, as far as work goes, blue-collar trade, they're raking in the bucks. Very blue-collar, kind of like people from Philly. You know, if anybody familiar with people from Philly or Boston? I mean, there's kind of a, you know, people versus Edmonton versus Vancouver, right? You know, you go to Edmonton, and it's like, yeah, you know, fairly blue-collar town. You go to Vancouver, and it's like, I need my Starbucks. Or Calgary. There is no great education there. In that time, it was a rough place. The people in the Judea, there's how that place is divided up. The people in the south of Galilee, they didn't like those guys. The people in the south are kind of like the Vancouverites. The people up north, the Galileans, I hate to say it if anybody's here from Hythe, but it's kind of like saying, hey, those guys are from Hythe. They got a hockey team. I'm not trying to disregard Hythe, but when you take somebody from Vancouver, what do they think of people from Hythe? Uncultured, poor,
rednecks,
country bumpkins, get her done. Well, you know what? That is hilarious. Because when I was studying this week, that is exactly what the people in Judea thought about the Galileans. That is exactly. In fact, when people from Galilee came down, they knew them. Well, how? Because how they looked, how they dressed, and how they sounded. It'd be like somebody from Texas walking into New York. So just put that into your brain. That is the Galileans. These are the people that Jesus chose to follow him and to change the world. Sound familiar? Does any of that sound familiar? You bet it does. That get her done attitude. So meet the modern disciples. There they are. Hard at work. Who meets them in their workplace? Who goes to them in their workplace? Who calls them? Hey, I want to make you whatever it is of people. So every time we think less of folks like that, I just really want to put the rubber on the ground here tonight. Those guys work hard. God bless them. But that, you're looking at modern Galileans. That's what they were like. All right. So what would compel these tough guys to leave their big bucks, careers, and their families? Let me say this. They did not leave all this on a whim. The industry wasn't drying up. Sure, they didn't catch fish for a couple nights, but that's not usually the par for that course. This was the place to make big money. It's like when you want to go to Fort Mac or you want to go to Grand Prairie, this was the place to make money. It was the place to build a career. It was the place to build a home. It was the place to raise a family. But it was rough. You better believe it. What would compel these tough guys to leave their big bucks, their dreams, their families, and follow a carpenter from Nazareth? What would compel them to do that? The deal is they somehow knew Jesus. When we really come to know him, who he is, you see, everything pales in comparison. When we get to know who he really is, not who we think he is, when we get to know who he really is, everything else pales in comparison, says the Apostle Paul. They came to know him, and they came to know he was Lord at this stage. Like, well, wait a minute. He said, you know, he called them and immediately they left. When you compare it to the other gospel accounts, what was going on there is they were getting to know him. They were spending some time with him, probably a couple months, 2-3 months, and they'd spent that time with him, getting to know who he was. And you read in the Gospel of John, man, this guy's the Lamb of God. Like, there's all this stuff going on. He's the Messiah, all this stuff. The truth is that they were already hanging around with him for a while. They got to know with him. They said, where are you staying? He says, come and see. And I'll tell you. So they spent time with him. Let me ask you this. Can you get to know someone without spending time with them? No, you can't. They spent time with him. They got to know him for who he was. They took the time. They recognized Jesus as Lord. And guess what they did? They made him Lord of their lives. Now, sometimes we might be like, well, hang on a minute there. They didn't quite make him Lord of their lives. I mean, they had all this confusion. They had, you know, they didn't quite get it. All that stuff. Yeah, that might be true. But one thing's for certain. They left that behind. And you see, in Jesus' merit, it doesn't matter what you debate him on. It doesn't matter if you memorize it, who he is. It doesn't matter. It matters if you obey his call. It matters if you come to him. He didn't care about their country hick background. He didn't care about the fact that they may have been modern rednecks. He didn't care. All he cared about was when he said come, they came. That's what makes the difference. And again, they didn't memorize anything. They didn't make a Bible study about it. They just went because he said, come with me. Come with me. Come with me. And they left all that behind. So how do we begin? We respond by responding to Jesus' invitation. And the cool thing is, guys, is that we can start that anytime. We're going to take a closer look at this verse. This is verse 19, so come follow me, Jesus said. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. So for the rest of the night, we're going to focus on that. And I apologize if we go a little bit long. I'm not much of a preacher, and I'm not used to doing this, so I'm not. My timelines are usually way out the window. So just hang tight. So Jesus invites us, and I say this. It's an invitation to transformation. I don't know if you want to write that down or whatever. I don't have very many good quotes much of the time, so I like that. But Jesus, this is all about an invitation to transformation. It's an invitation to transformation. I don't see many people writing it down, but that's okay. It's an invitation to transformation. It really is. He says, come follow me, and I'm going to make you something. I'm going to transform your life. You think you had something? You just wait, buddy, until you see what I give you. But before we can kind of keep going on this, we need to look at what is a disciple? Because this word comes up a lot, okay? So what is a disciple? As we keep going, we're going to look at this word. So take a look at this. You might want to write this down. This is kind of how I define it. A disciple, let me move out of the way. I think it's this. I think it's when we see in the Gospels, we see this. It's one or person who worships Jesus. Well, what do you mean? These guys didn't worship Jesus. Yes, they did. Because they made him king of their life. King of my heart. Right? We sang that. They made him king of their heart. They didn't make their fishing village the king of their heart. They made him the king of their heart. One who worships Jesus is being changed by Jesus, obeys Jesus. And get this, and we forget this a lot of times, a disciple is one who teaches others to do the same. You really see that in Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, remember what I said? Teach that to everybody else. So a disciple, one who worships Jesus, being changed by Jesus, obeys Jesus, and teaches others to do the same. Do we have it perfect? No. It's we're being changed by Jesus. Okay? Disciple. So what is discipleship then? Well, try to come up with something. Here it is. What is discipleship? I think it's this. Because this is what you see in the Bible. It's leading people, leading other people. So as we go and make disciples of other people, or maybe people make disciples of you, it's leading people to increasingly, okay? That's that word there. Increasingly submit all of their life to the lordship and empowering presence of Jesus Christ. You get that word? Increasingly. Because with these guys, they didn't have it all together. They just knew he was something special and they were going to give up their lives for him. So it's increasingly. You hear this sometimes like, man, I made Jesus my life, but man, I'm struggling with my budget. I'm trying to figure out how to make him king of my finances. You ever hear that? It's like, yeah, that's right. Because it's increasingly, every area of our life, Jesus needs to be king of. And sometimes we're like, we struggle with that. Or sometimes we need to be discipled at how to do that. And so that's a beautiful thing about the body. Is that we're a gift to each other that way. Perfect. So now we're going to look a little deeper into verse 19. And I kind of broke it into three parts. First one, the first part of this, Jesus says, come, follow me. What does Jesus mean by this? Well, it seems pretty simple. Come, follow me. It's a little bit harder than that. Because Jesus, when he said this to the disciples, James, Peter, John, Andrew, he did not mean like, hey, come hang out with me. The word, in fact, means not now and then, but always. Not now and then, but always follow me. In other words, worship me above all else. That's what Jesus is saying. Come and follow me. Not follow you. Not follow your boss. Not follow this. Not follow that. You come and follow me. Come and walk with me. Come and meet with me. So what does that sound like? Well, like PJ was saying earlier, repent, right? So that's what was going on then. He was preaching about repentance, the kingdom is near. And he says, look, we need to be repentant of making ourselves king, putting ourselves on the throne of our heart. And when he says, come follow me, it literally is making him king of all of our heart and all of our life. Come, follow me. Jesus invites them for sure. It also means believe and trust in who I say I am. Come follow me for who I say I am. Come believe in me and put your trust in me, is what he's saying. If you want to follow me, here's the other part of it. When he says, come and follow me, here's the deal. And increasingly, we're doing this. But he doesn't mince words here. He says, if you want to follow me, you've got to put me above everything and everyone else in your life. That's why you can read about that later in when he says the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. I'm not going to get into that passage, but you can read about that. I think it's Luke 14. And he lays it on the line, right? Yeah, increasingly, but you've got to start. If you want to start following Jesus, he says, we're not there yet. He says you've got to put him on the throne of your heart. Why? Here's why. Jesus says he's the creator of you and me. He's the creator of our kids. He says he's the maker of our mothers, our fathers. This earth and everything in it belongs to him. So worship him as he is for who he is. Here's another reason why. Those who get it, who really get who Jesus is, and we all need help with this by the Spirit, they are willing, and we saw it, they're willing to lose everything to gain him. The Apostle Paul, the disciples, they realize it. They realize what a great treasure Jesus is. So it's not like, man, I lost all this stuff. They have the viewpoint, man, who wouldn't give up everything for him? When you realize this is God in the flesh, it pales in comparison. I'm in. Only He holds the key to eternal life. Only He can bring us back to God the Father, and only He can restore us. Jesus is asking, are you 100% with me? Come follow me. Where's your relationship with your folks? Where's your relationship with your career? Where's your relationship with work? Jesus is saying, look, I'm here. I'm here, and your kids need to be here. I'm here, and your work needs to be here. I'm here, and your goals and dreams need to be here. That's what He's saying. Come, follow me, make me the king of your life. And this is tough stuff. It really is. But again, those who know who Jesus really is willingly lose all to gain Him. It's not bad news. It's incredible news. It sounds maybe bad. It's like, man. But you know what? If it sounds bad to us, man, it sounded bad to me too. When I was out there looking at the Father Gerard thing, I'm like, man, what? And I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Would I give up my eternal life for a house? Would I give up eternal life for a career or a car? Really? Would I do that? No. No. Why would I ever do that? It's insane. So Jesus really isn't interested in us playing church here. He's interested in making us His church. He's interested in making us His disciples, and He doesn't pretend. This is the cost of following Him, and I'd be lying if I didn't tell you there is a real cost. Some folks don't. They're like, oh man, we just want to get people in the door and get some people converted, and it's like later on they're like, what? No. I'm telling you straight up, because Jesus tells them straight up. We don't hear it in this passage so much, but He tells them straight up. Don't want to be deceiving or anything like that. It costs everything. Everything. So the good news is, what's required? Well, what's required of them? If we look at the disciples, didn't require much. So He discipled them. The good news is they were far, so far from perfect. It's like, man, I can get on that? No problem. It's like, sometimes we hear this, we got to have it all wrapped up and all, we got to have ourselves cleaned up. He doesn't say that. They didn't have it together, believe me. It's like, yeah, should we call down some fire from heaven and destroy these people? Yeah, they didn't have it all together. They did not. But they did have one thing all together, and that's the one thing. If Jesus has that one thing, He can work with us. And that's making Him king of our life. They didn't have it all together. They just said yes to Jesus after getting to know who He really was. Follow me. Come and see who I am. It's the good news if we say yes. And here's the other part. And now we're moving into the second part. He promises that He will make us something. Come follow me, and I'm going to make you. Here's the cool thing. And I didn't understand this until I was reading on Bible Hub. You get the little app on your phone or whatever. Bible Hub, get it. It's awesome. You can look up what the Greek words are and everything else. Bible Hub. It's an app. You can get it. I'll say it one more time. It's a great app, and I'm not getting paid to announce it. Bible Hub. Check it out. And so when I read that, I was like, okay, so what is Jesus saying? Because some translations are a little different. It's like, you know, come with me, and I'll help you, or I'll direct you to be fishers. It does not mean that. Jesus is being very clear here, and the short definition is to reconstruct or manufacture or to create or produce you. Okay? It's from the word poieo. There it is. Greek word poieo. And it means that. He's not saying, you know, I'll just do a little bit in your life. He's saying, I'm going to do an incredible work in your life. So that's good news, amen? Incredible work in our life. Here's the cool thing. If we see Jesus wants to make us into something, we're seeing our Father. And the Father wants to do work in our life. The Father, God, made the stars, the heavens, everything in Him. He wants to do something in our life. Sometimes we think our value, we're like, oh, I'm not worth much. Holy jumping. I mean, read this word. He wants to do a recreation in our life. He wants to restore us, and He wants to remake us from the inside out. That's what He's saying. He doesn't want to leave us. He doesn't want to leave us. He wants to invite us into this journey with Him. He invites us away from our empty. He invites us away from our powerless lives, our hopeless lives, our loveless lives, sometimes our aimless lives, where we're like, man, I got no purpose. I need hope. I need, I just can't do it. I need something to help me get through. And so we turn to other things. We don't have to turn to other things that cost us, rip us apart, leave us worse off. Jesus offers to redo a work in our life. And it's not easy. This is not the quick fix. It's not easy. It takes life of sacrifice. But he wants to. That's the thing we need to hear. He wants to come in and he wants to transform us. And here's the thing. Note who does the work. Who does the work? Well, it's brown and furry, but I'm sure it's... Yeah. Jesus, right? We all have a Sunday school answer. Yeah, that's the cool thing. And I will make you. Not you will make you. If you come and follow me, I'm going to make you. You make me king of your life, and man, I'll come in there with my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do a work you would never imagine. I want to do this because I'm good. Good, good Father, I have good things for you. I want goodness in your life. Does that mean your life is not going to, you're not going to have trials or anything like that? No, 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 no. I want to do a work in your life. I want to recreate your heart. He does the rest, though. That's the cool thing. His good desire for us is that he wants to do this in us. In Jesus, he gives us fulfillment in him. If you look at John 4, he meets a woman at the well. He says, hey, I want to give you living water. Come and get this living water from me. I'm the bread of life. Man, spend some time in the Gospel of John, and you will really see what Jesus offers. He wants to give us a brand new start. He wants to give us hope. Man, this is good news. As I was writing this, I'm like, wow, I'm encouraged. And here's the other thing. He wants to give us a brand new community, the church, to become a disciple of Jesus with, so we're not alone. Anybody ever feel alone here? Yeah. Look around you. God gave you these people. So maybe get their contact info. You're here. Here's the other thing. He will never leave us nor forsake us by his Spirit. I feel alone sometimes. But he promises he's with us. But we don't do it alone. He reshapes us in community. And he does that by helping us be with other people. For example, sometimes you'll see a couple and it's like, maybe you know, it's like, I don't know. Maybe you're just a brand new parent. Right? And you got a little baby and you're like, man, I don't know how to do this. Well, guess what the best form of discipleship is? Link up with another couple. Who may be gone a little farther than you. They can disciple you on how to raise your kids. In Christ. Maybe you can help them. Right? Take a look around. It's all here. Not in any one person in particular, but in the body. But he wants to make this a beautiful community. What's that song, You Make Beautiful Things? He makes beautiful things out of the dust. But again, this only happens. We only get to this recreate part if we allow him to be king of our life. And that is the truth, because he's a gentleman. He will not force himself into our life. Lastly, fishers of men. So no women in there, I guess. No. But Jesus has a purpose for us. Sometimes we're like, man, I don't know what my purpose is in life. For sure, there's other things. It's like, yeah, I'm great at skateboarding. Maybe I'm going to be on the X Factor or whatever it is. You know, there's all sorts of talents out there. But here's the deal. If you are a Christian, if you said, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus, guess what your main purpose is? Right there. That's it. I don't say it. He said it. I'm going to make you what? Fisher. I'm going to make you so happy you won't hang out with anybody? No. I'm going to make you so happy, Jay, you just hang out and play Skyrim all day? No. I'm going to make you so happy and content you can just, like, you know, go spend all your time on holidays. No. I'm going to make you go and grab other people and pour this love into people's lives. I'm going to do this in you. I want to do this in you. So what is he saying? Well, he says, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of people. I tried to be, you know, gender equality there. So he wants to teach us to obey. And he's not kidding when it's this whole thing about, hey, go and make disciples. Again, I'm going to make you fishers of men, he tells them. And they left because they obeyed him. They got that his mission purpose is above all purposes. His mission purpose is above all purposes in our life. Are you kidding? No, he's not kidding. So if Christ is king of my life, and I'm a follower of him, he in effect says this: the job, the career path I take is not for the sole purpose of my pleasure. It's not. It's not for upgrading my standard of living. It's not the primary purpose. For sure, God wants to provide for us. But the primary purpose for us in our work, the primary purpose for us in the neighborhood we're in, the primary purpose of the people he connects us to, the primary purpose for us being here tonight and being in East Side is to do this. We are called to be fishers of people. So I don't want to hear, or if I say that, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, Kurt, please remind me, brother. You can say, Jason, you know, you preached a whole lot on this thing, man. And I just want to come alongside you, brother, and remind you, you have a purpose. For sure, it's to glorify God, but how do I glorify God? Why don't you get out there and fish for some people? Yeah, but Kirk, I just want my holidays, all life. Jason, just come alongside you and remind you that, you know, here's your purpose, brother. That's really challenging to me. I like playing Skyrim. Maybe I can bring somebody else to play Skyrim with me. Yeah, I do. I do that with risk. Okay. But why? Why? God wants to transform his... Why is God so interested in us? It's not that he wants to ruin our fun. Who wants a better world? Just put your hands up. Right. So does he, by the way. And the fact that you want a better world is because he put his spirit into us and he says, I want to make a better world through you. Guess what my plan is? Right there. The kingdom into people, my spirit into people, is what makes this place a better place. By making you full of my spirit will make this place a better place. Anybody hear that prayer that Jesus offered? It was something about, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, it's saying, may it be on earth like it is in heaven, Father. That's his plan. So that is his purpose. It's an invitation. Not just to, you know, just read my Bible by myself and I got my spiritual life, me and Jesus. That is totally not biblical. Because that is the purpose. Oh, I've given this to you guys. You've seen that I'm king. You know that I died. I'm going to die for you, resurrect for you. I want you, yeah? Now that you know of my love, yeah? Now that you're filled with my love and my spirit, yeah? I just want you to go and do the same that I did for you. Oh, I don't like that deal. Well, then you can't say I'm king of your life. So what? Right? So what? No, I didn't do a so what slide. I don't know, I'm new to this whole slide thing. Well, what's the next one? Yeah. What do we need to know? I'm getting to the end. I know Pastor Paul always says, somebody say getting to the end. So somebody say getting to the end. Yeah, good. Thank God. But what we need to know is this. We need to know what a disciple is. If we're going to consider, you know, hey, what does it mean, Jesus? I'm following you. We need to know what a disciple is. And that was way back there in the slides, but I hope you wrote it down. And what discipleship is, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It took these guys 3 years of hanging around with Jesus, and they still didn't quite get a lot of it. But Alan's going to talk next week about the birth of the church, and I want to ruin that. What happens there. It's incredible what happens. God loves us more than we can imagine. Man, if we really get this, we will see, I would give up anything for you, Lord, because of what you've given to me. Of course I would. Of course I would. If we're battling with that in our hearts, confess that to the Lord. Ask him to come again and be king of our lives. We're not alone in this, guys. He calls us not only to accept the invitation, but out of love for who he is, he calls us to do what he says and not just memorize it in some sort of Bible study. He really says that. So, why do we need to know this? There it is. Look at that. Bree, you're doing a great job. Jesus' deep love will change your life if you let it. Again, Jesus is a gentleman. I stand at the door and I knock. I will not bruise a Look, I will only come into your life if you want me there. But man, I want to be there. because I want to do a work in your life. I don't want to change your neighborhood. I want to change your home. I want to change your workplace. I want to change your kids. I want to do an incredible work through you. His deep love for us and the world is the only thing that will change this world. It's His. Plexus won't. Five Guys and Fries won't. I wish it did. But Jesus gives us purpose in joining Him in this mission of fishing. So whatever you're doing, whatever place you work, maybe you need to ask the Lord, what is that? What does that look like in my life, Lord? What would fishing look like? Well, so what do we need to do? Hey, He lays it pretty straight of what being a disciple is. Maybe we really need to come and take another look at Jesus at who He says He is. Maybe we need to take another look. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. There it is. Hear His voice about who He is. We need to respond to Jesus' invitation. It's good. It's a good invitation. Hey, you know what? You can talk to anybody wearing these name tags if you have any questions or you want to know Jesus more. I want to know Jesus more. Can I talk to you, Brian? Good. Amen. That's good stuff. Hey, join us. If you're like, man, I don't know what to do. Join us. We moved here. God sent us here. So join us in mission as we join Jesus in reaching the lost and broken of the seaside area. Amen? That is what we're here on the mission to do. See? Whoa. So you can... That's what we need to do. Those are some ideas. Why do we need to do it? Why wouldn't we? Jesus' offer is incredible. If we really know what the offer is, we don't have it all together. But why wouldn't we join Him? Jesus is the best offer we'll ever get. He really is. I forget that, so please remind me. So please say, Jay, look at the Word of God. Look who He says He is. Oh, man. Thank you for showing me an area of unbelief in my life. You're right, I need to repent of that. Hey, we are given a new life, a fresh start, every day, a brand new day. Whew, why wouldn't I do that? Hey, He will change the world through you. We all put up our hands and said, yeah, I'd like a better world. Guess what? Most people outside this room will say, I want a better world. Why would we not join Him? Because we all want it. He will change our world, our home, our family, our workplace, our neighborhood, and city again if we allow Him to do work in our life. You bet. And next one. There it is. So guys, I went long. But I've been so convicted when I was reading this message about my own life and about seeing that Father Gerard, and he spent his life worshiping Jesus and reaching a people who nobody would care about. He spent his life learning 7 languages. I was so convicted of that. So may the Spirit just guide you and work in your life this week and the next. And remember, it's a process. If you've signed up as being a disciple and you want to get in a life group, we have these new life groups starting. They're called DNA life groups. We should be starting them in 2 weeks. So getting leaders training and stuff like that. It would be a great place to get some discipleship, to get some encouragement, to remember these good promises of God and the call He's called us to. And part of this worship is as we surrender our life. God has been so good to us. Father lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. That's out of James, actually, not just the song. But it's so good. You know, we think about camp and the good report from camp. Think about this site. Do you know that the Church of Christ, the folks at the Church of Christ, saved up, was it 6 years? 3 years to launch this site. That's some sacrifice. Because they believe what God was calling them to do. So those tithes and offerings have gone to us meeting tonight. Those tithes and offerings that people made sacrifice for us to gather and have some food and hear the message of God and be encouraged and go and be transformed by Him. Sacrifice. Father God, sacrifice. But that couldn't happen unless He had people sending Him. Same thing here. We couldn't do this work if we did not have the sending. So let's pray, and we're going to take up our offering tonight. If you're visiting with us, you do not feel compelled. But we just want to encourage you, if you want to give, yeah.
Just wondering if you should remind the different ways of giving.
The different ways of giving. Amen. So the different ways of giving around here, you can throw a check, which we don't even know what those things are anymore. But you want to, you can put it in the offering bag as it comes around. If you want to go with pre-authorized giving, you can set that up. Yeah, there's an envelope there. Christina, could you hold that high? There it is. I don't see the... Is it on the back? It's on the office. So if you open up your bulletins, ways we give, it says from the office, in person, you can do an e-transfer. But, you know, most of all, I just want to thank people for being generous. And we could even be here because people are disciples of Jesus. And they went, yeah, I believe in Jesus' call, so we can go make fishes of people. We could be fishes of people to cast a net wide into this side of town. So let's pray and we'll take up our offering. And then I think we'll skip our table talk tonight because I've blown all of our time. And we'll just have... Could we sing another song? Would that be okay? Anyone you like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that every good and perfect gift comes from you. I want to thank you for your word and the promises that are in your word. I want to thank you, Father, that you show us who you are through Jesus. I want to thank you for the people who translated the word into English. Some of them laid down their lives to do that. I want to thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. I want to thank you that we exist at this site, in this building, because of people who are disciples of you, Jesus. They took discipleship seriously. They took sacrifice seriously. And they said, I am not my own God. And so, Father, we give tonight with a sacrificial heart. And Jesus, would you help us to be more like you? And I love the fact that you meet us where we're at. May we make you king of our hearts again tonight. Be the king of our heart, O Lord Jesus. Be the king of our heart. That we would be transformed. That our families would be transformed. That the city would be transformed. All for your glory. And the cool thing is that the more we submit to you, you just come in and fill our lives with sweet fellowship of the Spirit. So have your way with us, Lord. And do a mighty work with this sacrificial giving here tonight. Take this cash, this whatever we put in the bag, Lord, and would you just expand it for your kingdom? Would you just increase it for your kingdom? We ask this in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thanks for being patient.